And I'm going to ask Marc Lacoste to come up and to wrap up this particular chapter. We'll look at self-driving vehicles and virtualization concerning them, which will conclude our chapter on digital systems.
Good afternoon, everybody. First of all, I'd like to say that I'm very happy to be here in Rennes at César with you. Today, I'd like to share with you the conclusions of a study done in the security expert community in Orange on software-defined vehicle and networking security. A while ago, we had a presentation on the software-defined approach for infrastructure, and now we're going to be looking at application cases to vehicles, connected vehicles, and what that means for security in this type of approach. As you know, connected and driverless vehicles are of increasing importance. A lot is being celebrated, a lot of challenges in terms of security. And the reason for this is that there are two breakthroughs. First of all, increasing connectivity, V2X, vehicles to everything, to lots of different things, other cars, other infrastructures, pedestrians, cycles, and there's increasing autonomy too. Cars are partly automated, they become increasingly so, and there are some even some driverless vehicles, and this poses security issues with a lot of activities from the emblematic Jeep, which shows that there are also breakdowns, that problems with security and safety need to be dealt with in a unified way. There are human lives at stake here, and there are also problems of liability. When we look at cars, they're not unique, they're not isolated, but they're in network. When we look at 5Gs, there are a lot of challenges. This is an ecosystem. Driverless cars form an ecosystem. There's the device, the vehicle. They're organized into ad hoc networks, vanettes, vehicle and networks. And then in the middle, there's the edge. And then there's a certain number of clouds, and with two types of connectivity, cellular and wireless connectivity. And so the problem from a security point of view is there are six problems in each of these thirds, and where the security mechanisms are going to be deployed from a hardware point of view and the software point of view, we need to take an overall view that takes everything into account, covering all of the life cycle of the data. Connected cars also have a lot of different uses. For example, here, this is from the European Public's 5GKs based on the trajectory, where we need to guarantee the integrity and authenticity of the positioning system to avoid accidents. And at the same time, the data, the corresponding data can be personal data. And so this mustn't be stored. There needs to be data privacy. And there's also C3, where we extend the perception range beyond the vehicle's line of sight. And here, too, we need to be able to guarantee the integrity. And there are also cases of use that are cooperative sensing of vehicles for an overview of the experience with mapping. And here, too, we need to have this cooperative view to collecting different types of data, and we need to be to guarantee data privacy. And so there are security requirements, which are a compromise between the integrity and authentication to guarantee a security, and also confidentiality and privacy. And in addition to that, we need we're going to have requirements in terms of robustness and so lots of security needs. And when we bring all of this together, there's a complex ecosystem, lots of different use cases, a variety of security requirements, and for connected and driverless vehicles, we need to have a very flexible approach for security management. And this is what SDVN offers, software-defined vehicle networking, which uses the benefits of SDN to manage this security. But it also introduces risks as well as opportunities, service opportunities for cybersecurity. And this is what we're going to look at in the next part of the presentation, seeing what the different principles and architectures of SDVN are, what is the impact on security, and what the opportunities are. SDVN, in a few words, it's the deployment of network vehicles with lots of challenges to make them practical. There are problems of scalability, performance, interoperability. And on the other hand, we have SDN, which offers well-known benefits in terms of programmability. And when the two are brought together, there's flexibility and programmability in terms of promises for a substrate of vehicles with wireless connectivity. And the idea behind SDVN is to present vehicles with switches. And what this results in terms of architecture is this. You will find a classic SDN architecture with three-thirds, a data plane, control plane, and application plane. But compared to SDN architecture, this is cut into two. There is a data plane, which is mobile in the vehicles, and a fixed data plane, which is the roadside infrastructure. And then you have all the vehicle and network that is supervised by an SDN controller with different functions to oversee the network, predict the vehicle's trajectories. And in the application, you have routing functions, etc., as in a traditional SDN. So this approach offers a number of benefits. Typically, for security services, it enables, for example, for emergency services to have routing segmented for one line of traffic compared to another line of traffic to enable the emergency traffic to go faster than ordinary traffic. You can also optimize routing, have slicing, but there are still a great number of challenges linked to mobility and, in particular, security and safety. This was for VANETs. And now here we have the 5G context. So these challenges will be magnified with 5G, with low latency issues, netro heterogeneity, HETNET architecture, dynamic topology. And so the benefits of SDVN in 5G are more particularly pertinent. And so there will be trade-offs to be found between performance from SDVN, vehicle density, radio coverage, to find the right compromise between these different properties. And so typically you have an architecture where you can have adaptive vehicle clustering, vehicle location prediction, and cooperative driving. So this is an example of SDVN architecture with 5G. This is more complicated than an SDVN, ordinary SDVN architecture. The ordinary architecture, but there are different levels of SDN controllers. There's an overall SDN controller and different lower-level SDN controllers managing groups of vehicles and managing handover with Fox cells to facilitate the management of the vehicle handover in a more refined way. SDVN also has, and I think this was already pointed out, lots of interactions with edge technology, because you have the same type of properties, low latency properties, awareness, scalability that are found in other verticals, for example, smart cities, health. and with the same type of benefits. But there are also challenges which haven't been resolved. For example, cascading breakdowns. Are you going to have interoperability with different edge servers and also threats on decision centers? So what is the impact, the security impact of SDVN? As with SDN, there are a few points for vigilance that need to be looked at with SDVN architecture. First of all, the SDN controller in the middle is a centralized control point, and as such is a place for particularly critical threats, particularly DOS attacks, which an eye needs to be kept on that from a security point of view. And then there are three layers of architecture, the controller and architecture and applications. So the points of vulnerability for man-in-the-middle attacks, and with SDN attacks, the data mobile plan due to cars and their mobility is a lot more open. And there are multiple layers that need to interoperate. And so there are controllers, SDN controllers, that need to cooperate with configuration conflict issues. And there are also security issues at that level. And so to deal with these issues, what's recommended is to take an in-depth defense approach to limit the propagation of threats with hardened, standardized APIs between the layers, and to secure the data plane to limit amplification of SDN threats. So you have a description, a more precise description of the threats for each of these different levels in the paper. In terms of benefits of SDN, these are well known. They've been detailed previously. In terms of the overview of security and also resilience, control, and when this is applied to the vehicle context, this opens up the way for a certain number of security services in terms of intrusion detection, firewalling, device management to improve the vehicle's capacity, also with connectivity with slicing, network anomaly detection, and also for data protection and safety. An example of that, inside the vehicle, in general, the architectural is hardware, it's fixed, and changing a fixture will be very expensive. You need to change the hardware. Here we have SDIVN, which is the application of SDVN to the intervehicular network, where if there are breakdowns in the vehicle, a controller typically for steering, which could cause the vehicle to crash, then there'll be a reconfiguration of the vehicle network very rapidly. And here we can gain in safety, saving costs compared to changing the architecture of the software bus, which would be more expensive and take time. So this SDVN opens up the way. It's becoming more important, particularly in the ecosystem. The vehicle ecosystem is a very rich ecosystem with a lot of players. Also, for a lot of security functions, Orange is very much involved in this ecosystem with collaborative projects and also test beds. For example, the 5GK project that I've already talked about, Sangji Koko, where we look at the multi-domain aspect for security, and the testbed that we have at Linas Montlhéry with a number of partners, where we look at the input of mobile computing for safety and privacy. And SDVN is a first step towards something that which is a lot broader, which is machine learning for security, which is taking us increasingly towards a software-defined car. So it's adapting the vehicle's functionalities to a context, to safety requirements of different players, so the driver, for example, or the manufacturer, or network players. And this using this approach opens up a number of security services. These are a few of them. It could be anomaly detection in the vehicle to fight against malware. It can also affect the network to secure connectivity. It can also be in the cloud to ensure the isolation of different controllers, and for groups of vehicles to detect anomalous driving behaviors. There are other application cases to protect data, to authenticate sources of information, and slicing. So to conclude, and to keep the presentation short so there can be questions, this even helps to meet a lot of security and safety challenges in vehicles today. It's very attractive because of its simple, flexible approach to vehicular security management. Of course, this doesn't meet all needs, but it enables us to meet a lot of challenges for Venice with scalability, mobility, network heterogeneity. But there are also security problems that can already be found in SDN. But it does improve security and safety. And so it opens up security opportunities for services, for mitigating attacks and resilience. So there are a number of points that are very interesting for future studies. We can mention three of them. First of all, there's the fact that driverless vehicles are an autonomic security loop, but there's also safety. It can be inside the vehicle, but also in a vehicle network. And we're going to need to look at this in a unified way in terms of safety and security to look at cyber resilience within the vehicle for the network and end-to-end. And so this aspect is just beginning in our research. SDVM gives some answers, but there's a lot more to be done in this area yet. In addition to that, SDVN is a first step towards the potential of machine learning. There are studies being done at MIT to try and match the needs of in vehicle security and the responses with machine learning. What are the best approaches amongst all the arsenal of machine learning? What approaches can match which needs for vehicle networks? And so at the beginning of this, a lot of work remaining to be done, a lot is emerging now, and we're just at the very beginning of the story here. And then finally, looking at automation of security, what we can see too is that SDVN has taken on a lot of importance in the past couple of years. And this type of approach has been expanded to other verticals, for example, drones, because there are common things in both approaches. And these different verticals are systems of systems. And this raises the question of whether to secure these systems, we need to take a vertical, a cross-vertical approach, or a horizontal approach, which then can have different compartments to it. So there are two different schools of thought on this for the time being, and the debate is not yet over. And I'm ready and prepared to answer your questions if you have any. Thank you, Mark, for your interesting presentation. Are there any questions from the floor? Good afternoon. So you can see that SDVN is going to add a lot to the networking of autonomous driverless vehicles. What is your approach for respecting privacy, private life, when future generations are going to use this kind of vehicle? Yes, of course. Respect of privacy is very fundamental for driverless vehicles and for networks of driverless vehicles to know what should leave the car and what should stay in the car. we're going to have this trade-off between what needs to stay in the car to ensure the protection of personal data of the user and the device, but also the vehicle data, which can become personal. But there also needs to be some things that do leave the vehicle to guarantee the integrity and authenticity of sources of information and the security of the system. So there's a trade-off, which is tricky. But at the same time, the third aspect, in the case of an accident, we need to establish liability. So information needs to leave the vehicle in order to be authenticated in an indisputable way, and we need to remove the anonymity, for example, for insurance firms, for the police, the court systems, to establish liability with issues of integrity in particular. For the time being, we don't yet have this type of model of liability. And so the question of privacy is an important point. Will SDVM be able to answer this and meet these requirements? Why not? SDVN is a way of implementing security systems on the edge. But what will be the function of this? What will be placed into the safety controller, either in the security controller above the system, and that's open, and we could have a privacy management system at that level. I don't know if that answers your question, really. Any other questions? To my right, over here. Just one question about SDIVN, which can be reconfigured in real time. I believe that I used a bus can. Maybe we're not talking about the same network, so I can't really see how you could configure that. So yes, SDIVN, it's a complicated acronym. It comes from the NIST. And what you need to know is that the topology, intra-vehicle topology, is highly transformed. So the BusCan is the benchmark model for automobiles, but there are lots of other models of hardware with OCUs, where there are models where there's gateway. There are several hierarchical models of gateway, and then there's virtualization that is introduced within that to virtualize the OCUs. That's in the Redmax for the progress of driverless vehicles, but we're not there yet. But little by little, as we progress, we're going to have cost considerations. There'll be groups of OCUs that will be managed by a number of domain controllers for major functions, typically, for example, for managing entertainment. And the step after that will be to have a single controller with a lot of calculating power to control the entire car with a virtualization hypervisor within the car with containers, maybe orchestration. There are things with the edge where there can be swarms, for example, inside the vehicle itself. So you can see the topology and the architecture model in the vehicles is being transformed. So this doesn't appear yet with the BusCan, which is a buzz that is the benchmark, but it's going to be very complicated to reconfigure that. But now we're heading for an architecture where there's an increasing amount of cloud. There are more and more clouds, more cloud in the car, more calculating power in the car. And so we're looking at the first presentation of VMware, where there'll be a cloud in the car, there'll be software-defined aspects in the car with increasing amounts of virtualization. But that's what we're heading for. It's on the roadmap. Any other questions over here at the back on the right? And then we'll take a question from the left. Thank you, Mark, for the presentation. We've seen that the architecture, SDN architecture, is quite complex. With Vanets, it's a little more complex. And then you add a security architecture, which makes it even more complex. And my question is about certain words that I heard that are interesting for us, which are resilience. And my question is, how do you see things with respect to resilience rather than having a security architecture added to that? Sorry for the question. This will be a great challenge as regards resilience. What's the challenge is going to be secure the autonomous loop, the intervehicular loop with the decision-making aspect, detection, decision, reaction. So will the controller, the SDN controller, will it be sufficient to have SDN models with providing security with others for resilience? Are we able to put the two together? That's something that still remains to be seen. We have all the issue of doing the same thing with the vehicle network, having an SDN controller to manage the vehicle network in terms of security, for safety, and for both together. And so we need to have a unified approach for safety and security. We can see this for the time being. This approach hasn't yet been achieved on the hardware bus. There are breakdowns with attacks circulating. That we have different security and safety standards, so resilience isn't yet present. It still remains to be constructed also for the SDN controller, both within the vehicle and in the vehicle network, and combining the two together. So I don't think that's something we've achieved yet. So at the back on the left, here we can see there are several stacks that are going to be coming to on top of one another, and there'd be virtualization. Is there yet any thinking done as to how to maintain security conditions for all of these stacks? And what is the reliance of vehicle owners on manufacturers and onboard service providers? How will all of that come together? Sorry for the question. That's a very good question, and it's a key question, because there's the question of standardization. Because if there aren't a certification test on the vehicles, they won't be allowed to travel. And so that's something that's been a close look has been taken at this. We need to make sure they have safety tests. For example, with non-connected vehicles, ordinary vehicles, and make sure that they take safety tests, security tests, and we need to make sure that we also have the same thing for security. Yes, that's an important question, and the question of tests and audits is something that's currently being explored but hasn't yet been resolved, but it's a key question, yes. Any other questions from the floor? We still have time for another question. A question in terms of cost, particularly in terms of cyber resilience today. How do manufacturers look at the additional cost of making cars resilient to cyber attacks? I'm going to speak cautiously. You said sorry for the question, but sorry for the answer. I don't work in automobiles. I work in telecommunications. But for the time being, as to security and safety, in the automobile world, there's a lot of awareness for safety, so that driving is safe and that driverless cars have the same level of safety as ordinary cars, so that there will be zero deaths on the roads with driverless cars. and awareness of security is there, but there's still a lot of work to be done to raise awareness of this, that these driverless vehicles are complex, they're vulnerable, and it's not just security, safety, but there's also security. So we also need to deal with security. Investing in safety in terms of cost, that's a necessity to get the certification tests, to be able to pass the tests. But if we ask the question about the bus can earlier, the question of all these mechanisms will be a question of cost. How much will it cost to introduce all these safety mechanisms and security mechanisms in the car? That's a vision of the cloud that's been presented. When we're going to introduce them within the vehicle, the question of the cost will be critical. Today, we have a very, we're very much focusing on cans, even though things are going to change. So thank you, Mark. Thank you very much. So that's the end of this session on digital systems and virtualization on these systems. And now we're going to take a break, and we'll continue later with a session on sandboxing. I'll see you later.